Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. The Bible says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Man, I'm not preaching on that verse tonight, but I could very easily. Amen. I love that. Listen there. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And that famous verse we all know. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. God, we're a blessed people, Lord. Thank you for being such a good God to us, Lord, even when we fail you. And Lord, we do, Lord, every single day, God. And Lord, I know that we try our best, but Lord, we still fall short. Thank you for loving us anyway, Lord. Thank you for being faithful to us. Lord, thank you for the promise tonight we're going to look at, Lord, that you will renew our strength. God, thank you so much. God, help us tonight. I pray that you'd bless our Bible study. I pray that you'd meet the needs of our hearts tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe there's certain passages in the Bible, certain verses in the Bible that I call great truths of the Christian life. No doubt, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And I think every single verse just about in the Bible, if you're tender to the Holy Spirit, you can find some type of principle you can pull out. But I believe there's just certain verses in the Bible that have some great truths that literally can affect the way we live our lives. And I believe verse 31 is one of those verses. Now, honestly, we could probably come up with five or six messages out of verse 31. I'm just going to focus on one of these phrases tonight. But let's look real quick before we pull out the truth from the one phrase we're going to look at what this verse is teaching. Notice what it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord." We could stop right there. And in fact, that kind of goes along with the verse in front of it, verse 30. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." And you know what, folks? It's talking about the limitations of our human strength. And you know what? We all have limitations, don't we? As much as we would, you know, and young people sometimes, you know, I'm still consider myself in the young category, even though it's starting to creep further and further back. Amen. And so me and my dad just decided if we can't grow it up here, we're going to grow it right here. Amen. And so, but even the youth, I still consider myself a young man, and there's still things I still feel like I have my strength. But you know what I'm finding out the older I'm getting, and you senior saints can testify, you know what? You find out your strength begins to wane. It begins to wax faint. And you know, even the youth, even when you are young, there's still limits to your strength. But I love verse 31, and I love the conjunction it starts with, because even though our strength will utterly fail, even though the youth shall be faint, but they that wait upon the Lord. And that word "wait" there, I believe years ago, pastor preached on this verse. I still remember the message he preached about it. But that word "wait," it's talking about being persistent. It's talking about how that we partner with God to use his strength to come alongside of our own strength. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." I like that there. It's an emphatic part. Shall renew their strength. Not might, not may, but shall renew their strength if we're willing to wait upon the Lord. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary." And that's speaking of a supernatural strength there is what that means. I mean, to run and not be weary, think about that. That's a supernatural act, right? Remember those times in the Bible where God allowed some men to supernaturally run? Remember that time Elijah, he outran the chariot? And there's no doubt God had a hand in that, all right? But to run and not be weary is a supernatural act that only God can do. And I mean, even the best athletes can't run hour after hour without resting. And then the phrase, "and they shall walk and not faint." And this speaks of the daily grind of life, walking but yet not fainting. And so many people, life seems to get them down. They're walking through life, but yet they're fainting. They're fading away. And so there's some great truths here in this verse. But the phrase I want to look at tonight is that phrase that says, "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. See, God on purpose uses certain illustrations that we can relate to. If you go to the book of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18 and 19, there's another verse that talks about the eagle. It says this, "There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not, the way of an eagle in the air." And here we're learning the fact that the way an eagle flies or the way he's in the air is really beyond understanding here. There's more that happens that really we can comprehend. But yet God here puts that illustration smack dab in the middle of this verse. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." So I want to look at that phrase tonight, and we're going to learn some lessons from the way the eagle flies. And that's kind of the direction our Bible study is going. So let's first of all talk a minute about the eagle. We all know about eagles. Eagles are making comeback here in the Midwest. There's several eagles' nests just actually in our area. Last year, I was driving towards Sullivan, and I was over there by the catty corner, and I looked up, and there was a bald eagle flying right over there. And someone told me that there's an eagle nest right over there on the Busrow Creek over there somewhere. I know they're south of Linton out there on the Pleasantville Road there. It goes toward Pleasantville. There's a big eagle's nest out there. And so eagles are starting to make a comeback. We were at the Covered Bridge Festival this year. We saw an eagle flying over there by the Covered Bridge. And so, of course, an eagle is a very majestic bird. When you see an eagle, you stop and look and you take note, and there's just something about the way it soars through the sky. So we know about that. We know that Pastor Ross Sr. loved eagles, and I remember many times there going in his office and seeing all the things he had there about eagles. Eagles are a very neat bird. They tell us that eagles can fly at speeds up to 150 mile an hour. Think about that for a minute. That's almost as fast as I drive, amen? Side note, okay? I thought I knew what my life verse was. I found it the other day, all right? I thought it was Ecclesiastes 9:10. I was reading 2 Kings the other day, and it was talking about Jehu. And you know what verse I'm talking about? It says that they recognized it was Jehu the way he was driving, because he driveth furiously. And I told my wife, I said, that's it. That's my life verse right there. Amen. All this time I've been driving to Princeton, I've only been pulled over one time since I've been making this drive for the last 8 months. And guess what, Brother Nathan? Guess what I got? I got a warning. Amen. And so, again, I think that makes 17 times now, by the way. So, anyway, eagles can fly. I'm not lying. In the 20 years I've been driving, I've been pulled over 17 times. I've never got a ticket. All right. Every time the officer comes up and says, and I'm going to start knocking on wood here, because I'm probably going to get my first ticket tonight. But he always comes up to me and he says, I'm just going to give you a warning. Amen. So anyway, all that to say, eagles can fly at speeds of 150 mile an hour. Eagles can fly easily at a half a mile high. Half a mile high. When they spot a rabbit or a squirrel on the ground, they get this, they can dive at a speed of 200 mile an hour. That's pretty unbelievable. A full-grown eagle has a wingspan up to 7 feet long. We took the kids a couple years ago up to Chicago to the Field Museum on a reward trip. And I have a picture of it on my phone. There is, in a glass case, a stuffed golden eagle. And I couldn't believe how huge that bird was. I mean, this thing with its wingspan was a massive, massive bird. And up to 7 feet long. The adult eagle weighs up to 12 pounds. The eagle can suspend itself motionless, think about this, in hurricane force winds. That's unbelievable. We're going to talk a little bit about how he flies tonight. The female eagle returns each year to the same nest and the same mate. The bald eagle has been made the official seal of the United States of America. And when the eagle flies in strong winds, it carries it to great heights in the sky. Very interesting here. You know, as Christians, our rewards to the Lord are going to be based upon our faithfulness and service and our love for God. Therefore, in order for us to accomplish the greatest life we can as Christians, you know what we must do? We must continually go higher and higher in the Lord and for His work. And that's kind of the crux of what we're going to go at tonight. Kind of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth from those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, Chris, what we need to be doing. We need to be pressing toward the mark, amen? We need to keep in our Christian life going higher. Let's not be content with just kind of taking it easy. Let's not be content with just soaring low. Let's soar high for the Lord, amen? I'm going to give you a few principles tonight, things about the eagle that we can relate to our Christian life. Number one is this. The eagle uses the wind to carry him higher. The eagle uses the wind to carry him higher. If you've ever seen an eagle's nest, you find that they're built very high. Now, in the Midwest, they can only go so high because of our tree height. But you get out west, and you know what you find out? The eagle has his nest high on a cliff or on the edge of a mountain, high above the ground. And when he begins to fly, he simply either falls or jumps off the cleft, and the wind current carries him high in the air with very little effort. You know what the eagle does? He uses the turbulence and velocity of the wind as an ally to climb and soar higher and higher. And there's a lesson we can learn from this. You know why? Because, folks, the turbulent winds of life oftentimes come. And a lot of times, a lot of people, they allow when these turbulent winds to come, instead of using it to their advantage to fly higher and do greater things for God, they allow the turbulent winds of life to blow them over. And listen, folks, we got to learn how to handle things properly as Christians. And by the way, there's a lot of turbulent winds of life. And you know what it is? It's just called living in a sin-cursed earth, living in a sin-cursed body. And because of the sin curse, you know what happens? The turbulent winds of life blow, don't they? In fact, a lot of people right now, we mentioned them tonight, are being buffeted by these turbulent winds. And honestly, if you want to be honest with you, a lot of the things that we're going to talk about, I mean, really, all the problems in life can really be summed up in about five or six different main categories, if you think about it. Probably the one main turbulent wind that most people face is that of health problems. And it seems that it doesn't matter what age it is. I mean, right now on the own congregation here, we got little babies facing it. We got middle-aged folks facing it. We got older folk facing it. It just seems like that the turbulent winds of health problems blow. And I know, folks, sometimes when you're living through it, it's not easy to go through. It's not easy to see little children face these types of things. I can't imagine what Brother Derek and Miss Rebecca and Brother Isaac and Sister Laura and other folks are facing with just their little babies facing these types of things. You know what's happening? The turbulent winds are blowing. They're blowing. How about the turbulent winds of relationship problems? Again, folks, you know what? How many people do you know? The reason that they're in turmoil, the reason that they're facing problems is because some type of relationship problem in their life. Maybe it's a marital problem. Maybe it's a problem with the child or some type of family problem. I mean, folks, listen, the reality of the matter is we're human beings. And because of that, we all have a sin nature. And I wish when I got saved, my sin nature went away, but it didn't. And you know what? Unless I choose to crucify my flesh every single day, you know what happens? That sinful flesh rises up and causes friction and turmoil in my relationships in life. And by the way, you know what? So it does for all of us. And you know, whether it's in my marriage, whether it's in relationships with my kids or other people, listen, folks, that's why we must as Christians die daily. I remember the husband who said that he had been married for about 6 months and that him and his wife got in a big knockdown, drag-out fight. He said after about 30 minutes, his wife came crawling to him on her knees, pleading and begging, and said, "Come out from under the bed, you coward." Maybe not to that extreme, all right? But you know, there's all types of relationship winds that might blow. How about the turbulent winds of financial problems? Again, sometime everybody, probably sometime in their life, has faced these types of things. And you know, when those winds of adversity blow, you know what? We can either allow those winds to blow us over or allow those winds to have us to, just as the eagle, to fly higher. How about the winds of diminishing strength? You know, I know sometimes as folks grow older and our strength diminishes, you know what? That can be a discouraging thing. That can be a hard thing not to be able to do the things that you used to be able to do, have to be dependent upon other people. And that might be a discouraging thing, but let me encourage you tonight. Hey, remember the words of the hymn, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." Let me just encourage you tonight. Listen, hey, if you're still breathing, you can still impact somebody for eternity. Okay? Your usefulness isn't over until the day you take your last breath. If you're still here on this planet, God has you here for a reason. So let me encourage you, find out what that reason is. Fly high and still accomplish some things for the Lord. Amen? It may not be the same things you used to be able to do, okay? And by the way, that's understandable, okay? Our strength diminishes, and we may not be able to do the exact same things we did, but if you're still here, God still has something for you to do. How about the turbulent wind of the death of a loved one? You know, we all experienced a trip to the cemetery behind the casket of the people that we love. And a lot of times this wind blows, and some people can't get over that wind that blows. And instead of allowing to carry higher, they allow that wind to push them over. All these things we've talked about are different type of turbulent winds that happen in life. Let me encourage you. Let's be like the eagle. Instead of those winds pushing us over, allow us to fly higher. Think of Joseph. Think about the winds of adversity that blew in his life. I bet he didn't think when he was sold as a slave that everything was fair in his life. I bet he didn't think that when he went to prison for something that he didn't do, things were fair in his life. But you know what Joseph allowed? He allowed the winds of adversity to carry him where? To the throne of Egypt. Never would have happened if he wouldn't have allowed those winds to carry him to that place. So the eagle uses the wind to carry himself higher. Number two, the higher the eagle goes, the more he can see. You see, eagles are known for their eyesight. And they tell us that eagles' eyesight are about 1,000 times more powerful than that of a human. Think about that. I mean, an eagle can be soaring literally half a mile to even maybe sometimes a mile high, but yet he can see some type of prey that far away with those eyes that he has. And the higher the eagle flies, the better he can see. I'm sure you've probably been to some place where you can look out and see the landscape. I know this last summer I took my wife to Branson for a couple of days to celebrate our wedding anniversary. And we were there. There was a lookout tower that you can go to. And we went there, and zip line off that thing. And we did not do that, but we were up top there, and you can look out. It's got a 360-degree radius windows all around, and you can see down to the south into Arkansas, and you can see the lakes and all around. Hey, you know the only way we were able to see the landscape was to go up high. All right, to go up high. And you know, the higher we climb on the winds of adversity, the more we understand the things of God. You know, God, listen, folks, I don't understand why God does everything he does. Okay, I don't understand that. I wish I could stand up here tonight and tell you I understand why little babies get health problems. I wish I could stand up here and tell you why dedicated Christians face certain things. I don't know why that happens, okay? But by the way, here's what I tell our church. Be glad you can't understand God. Because if you could understand God with this measly little human brain, it wouldn't make him much of a God, now would it? But here's what I've learned, all right? I've learned that as these winds of adversity blow, and the higher I allow God to take me, the more I begin to understand more about God. You know, when you're down between the buildings and the trees, you can't see much. Things aren't nearly as open. Things aren't nearly as evident. And the higher you go, the greater difference you will see in the winds of life. You'll understand maybe why certain things are happening. And when you get above the treetops and the tops of the buildings, you can see the will of God more clearly, and problems of life begin to make more sense. When I go higher, I can understand the Bible better. When I fly higher, I can pray with more ease. When I go higher, I can witness with more freedom. When I go higher, I don't have the near difficulty with understanding things about the will of God as if I just stay on the ground. And a lot of times what gets us up to that height are the winds that blow. That's why as deer hunters, you know what? If you're going to be a pretty successful deer hunter, you're going to have to hunt from a tree. Okay, you know why? Because being high gives you a different perspective. I'm surprised how many times, Brother Nathan, when I'm deer hunting, I think I understand the woods from my tree, and I get down and everything looks different. I mean, I'm literally only 15 feet higher or off the ground. But yet when I get back on the ground, the whole landscape seems to change because I don't have that high of a perspective. And so the higher you go, the higher the eagle flies, the more he can see. So let me encourage you, Christian. Sometimes it's those winds of adversity that you can ride upon to fly higher and maybe understand some more. Now, you know what? There's some things we're not going to understand until we get to glory, all right? But there's a lot of things that we can understand if, well, instead of getting bitter at God, allowing these circumstances that come, these winds of adversity, to allow us to make us better instead of bitter. And you know what? Along with that comes more opportunity to understand. Because the higher the eagle goes, the more he can see. Number three, the turbulent winds. Now, don't miss this. It's going to sound like a wordy statement, but I'm going to explain it to you, and it makes a lot of sense. The turbulent winds lift the eagle above the harassment of the daily grind. Now, don't miss this, all right? Because the devil is always on our trail, all right? He's always sending things to try to get us off track. But the higher you go, the less he can influence you. That's why the Bible tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hey, you know what? The eagles don't have to put up with skunks or weasels or snakes. You know why? Because they're way above that stuff. You ever heard the saying, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you live with the turkeys? You ever heard that saying before? It's hard to soar with the eagles when you live with the turkeys. You know what? Don't miss this. We don't have to stay with turkeys all the time. Amen? Actually, me and Brother Nathan do, because we live on a turkey farm, all right? But we're talking comparative here, all right? You don't have to live with the turkeys of life, all right? You don't have to be consumed by the petty things of the world. I mean, an eagle compared to a turkey, there's no comparison. The eagle's way more of a majestic bird, way more of an intelligent bird than the turkey. You know, I'm afraid too many Christians are too busy living with turkeys instead of mounting up with wings as eagles. Think about that. Too many Christians are caught up in the petty, caught up in the small things, the things that all they can do is see from right here, instead of mounting up with wings as eagles. You know, Chris, you don't have to let the daily grind get you down. At a lower altitude, the eagle is bothered by the hawks and the crows and other birds. But the higher the winds carry him, the less these other creatures bother him. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, the higher we climb, you know what? The higher we climb, that is the closer we get to the Lord. And when we're closer to him, the higher we are, the petty seems to drop away. You know, when you climb higher and higher, you don't see all the junk. You don't see all the debris. You don't smell all the filth and garbage that's in this humanistic world we're living in. The winds will carry you above that. There's an illustration I read. It was a story of an airplane that was loaded with bombs and was waiting to take off to the place of destination. Before takeoff, a check revealed that there were hundreds of rats in the bomb area, and they were gnawing at the trigger mechanism of the bombs. The officers were at loss at what to do. They called the Corps of Engineers and asked them what to do. They didn't know. They called the Pentagon, and no instruction was given. When all possibilities and answers had been exhausted, a pilot climbed in the plane and asked permission to take off. Permission was granted. He took off, and when he had reached about 2,000 feet, he gave the plane all the throttle it had and pointed the nose straight up in the air. He continued flying straight up for several minutes. The plane went out of sight. Then the sound could no longer be heard. The instructors on the ground had no idea what had happened. After a few minutes, they heard the engines once again, and the plane was in sight. The pilot circled the landing field and brought the plane safely to landing. After taxiing the plane to its location, the pilot radioed the tower and said, "The rats are dead." When asked what he did, he replied that the rats were unable to survive at a certain altitude. All he did was take the airplane above the altitude, and the rats suffocated and dies. You know what this tells me? It tells us that, you know what, the rats of the daily grind of life, sometimes just living in this world, the things we have to put up with just because we're in the world, can sometimes get the best of us. But you know what we got to do when that happens? Let's just take the old ship higher and higher until the rats are dead. Amen? The rats of the daily grind. You know, a church that goes higher and higher doesn't have all those problems with bickering and childish people wanting their way about everything. Now, no doubt, there's going to be fussing and whining and crabbing going on in the church. But the place where it ought to be at is in the nursery, amen? That ought to be the only place where the diaper changing is going on. That ought to be the only place where all the whining and bickering is going on. Not amongst the people of God who are trying to get the work of God done. Hey, don't be that person that always needs a spiritual pacifier put in your mouth. Don't be that person. I get it, folks. We're all going to struggle from time to time. But listen, let's be spiritually mature about some things. What was it Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Amen? You know what he was saying here? He says, you know what? Once I become a man, guess what? I'm higher than that now. I don't do that. I'm above that junk that a lot of people seems to still struggle with. Listen, let's get above that. Amen? Let's get above that. How can we do that? Well, we can do that by flying above it. Amen? Flying above it. Number four, let me give you this. Turbulence allows the eagle to use less effort. Okay, as he's flying, as the winds are blowing up high, you know what? The less effort he has to use. You know what we learn from that is this. You're not going to fly very high in the energy of your flesh. You're not going to fly very high without being filled with the Holy Spirit. In order for us to fly where God wants us to fly, you know what we must be? We must be Spirit-filled. Why is that? Because when the turbulent winds of life blow, it takes a filling of the Holy Spirit to handle that in the right way. Because you know what a lot of times we want to do? All right, here's what we do first of all. When those turbulent winds blow, no matter what they are, whether it's health, whether it's family, whether it's financial, whatever it may be, the first thing we want to do is have pity on ourselves. Or blame God. How many times you hear people say, well, why would a loving God allow? I get sick and tired of hearing that. People want their own free will to make up their own free mind, but yet they want to blame God for the results of that man's free will. Duh, you can't have your cake and eat it too, amen? All right, but hey, listen. When those things blow, we got to understand what's going on here. If we'll fly above that, and we'll understand that the turbulence will allow the eagle to use less effort when he flies. And as Christians, if we'll get the Holy Spirit involved in our life, you know what? We'll be able to fly like the eagle, as high as he does. You know, the higher I go, the more God can use me. The higher I go, closer to God, and the lower, the more further away the world gets, the more I can be used of God. When the eagle gets his course set just right, guess what? He doesn't have to use his own energy in flapping his wings in the wind to climb. He soars on the turbulent winds. Have you ever seen that before? That eagle, all he's doing is spreading his wings. He's not doing anything. The winds are what's allowing him to fly. And there's a basic truth from the front of the Bible to the back, from Genesis to Revelation, that is to walk in the Spirit of God. Amen? The life as a Christian is so much easier when we do it in the Spirit. If the Bible doesn't mean much to us, you know what that probably means? It means that we're in the flesh. If we have a shallow prayer life and our prayer life is lacking, it's probably because we're in the flesh. If we don't do the things God wants us to do, witness and come to church and the basics of the Christian life, the reason is probably because we are in the flesh. And I promise you this, your flesh will give you more problems than anything else in the world will. Your flesh. That's your number one enemy. I mean, hey, the devil's an enemy, no doubt. The world's an enemy, no doubt. But your flesh is more of an enemy than the devil ever will be. All right? So if your daily life is not victorious, then you know what we must do? We must crucify the flesh and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And those turbulent winds as the eagle is soaring is what allows him to stay up there and soar. Let me give you one more truth tonight is this. Turbulent winds cause the eagle, don't miss this, to fly faster. We understand this. When you're on an airplane, you're flying cross country, you're going to make better time going with the wind than you are against the wind. Okay, this makes sense. Why? Because the wind is helping push you. The wind is helping get you where you want to be at a faster rate of speed. Let me say this, folks. When those winds, those turbulent winds of life blow, we can use these experiences to help accelerate our Christian life, help accelerate our growth. Why is it God wants us to face those turbulent winds? Why is that? So he can accomplish some things in our life. By the way, he's trying to get us to learn something. Amen? And the quicker we learn it, the better off we'll be. I mean, think about it. We can use these experiences that God puts us through, these turbulent winds that God puts us through, to win other people. I mean, hey, if you've been through a certain situation in life and you face that turbulent wind, who better to reach someone going through a similar situation than you who's already been through it? God might use that to help you win the loss faster. I mean, if we'll just allow these winds, these turbulent winds of life to help us, then you know what? We can accomplish the will of God. The children of Israel left the land of Egypt after 450 years of bondage. They journeyed toward the land of milk and honey. By the way, if you understand the dynamics there, the distance there, you know that journey was only 11 days away. 11-day journey. Now, God on purpose took them through the wilderness to teach them some things, okay? But what a shame. It took them 40 years to get there. 40 years to do something that, if they would have done it God's way, would have taken a whole lot less time. Okay? And instead of the turbulent winds there helping them when they face those situations, instead of turning toward God and allow to for them to soar higher, you know what they did? They did what a lot of Christians do in our churches in 2017. You know what they do? They murmured. They started getting mad at the man of God. They started pointing accusation fingers at God. And God said, fine. You don't want these winds of adversity to help you fly higher? Then guess what? They're going to blow you over and you're going to spend time wandering until you learn about them. Okay? Now listen, as Christians, we shouldn't be on the same level of Christianity we were 10 years ago. By the way, we shouldn't be on the same level of Christianity we were last year at this time. Okay? By the way, if you're not going forward, you know what that means? Guess where you're going? Backwards. All right, listen, hey, what is it preacher says all the time? A good Christian is a growing Christian. A good Christian is a growing Christian. Let me just say this, you ought to be better in your Christian life than you were a year from now, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. If you'll ride the winds of adversity higher and higher, you know what? You can fly much faster. By the way, if God gives you a test in life and you fail the test, guess what? It's going to be just like it is out in the Christian school. You get to redo the pace and do it again. Okay? You don't pass the test. God, you know, God's not like the public school system of today. Well, let's just push you on through. Let's just push you on through. Ain't the way it works with God. You know what he says? He says, no. You don't graduate to the next level until you pass this test. Okay? And you know what? I think about it. I mean, why is it certain Christians grow at a quicker rate than others? I'll tell you why I believe it is. Because they handle the things God brings in their life in a mature Christian way. By the way, folks, it's not a matter of if these winds of adversity is going to blow. It's a matter of when they blow. They're going to blow. Okay? Ain't no Christian get out of this thing with the bed of roses. We're all going to face things. Okay? So allow these winds to help you soar high like the eagle. Let the bad experiences help you. Don't let them blow you out of the sky. Okay? Don't allow them to make you bitter. Allow them to make you better. Amen? So this the eagle here can teach us some things. It can teach us that the winds of life can carry us higher. It can teach us that the higher we go, the more we can see, the better our perspective is. It can teach us that the winds will allow us to rise above the harassments of the daily grind. It can teach us that the turbulence can allow the eagle to use less effort. And it will teach us that the turbulent winds can cause the eagle to fly faster. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for the lesson we learned tonight, Lord, from one of your creatures, Lord, one of your creation. And Lord, no doubt you want us to learn something from it because you put it as an illustration in the scripture. Help us, God, to take the turbulent winds that blow in our life and God, not allow them to push us down, God, but allow them to let us rise higher, Lord, and closer to you and further away from this earth, Lord, so that we can do the work you've called us to do. Bless us now, we pray. And thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.